folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is...
Matty Juice! What is going on, everybody? Episode number 77, the lucky 77. That's what I'm talking about right there. Yes, sir.
You know what they say, 7-7. We just need a third, and we're ready to go. We got a great episode for you all this week. We're going to be talking about Odinfall, a brand new bullet hell roguelike, you know, some keywords in indie games we're going to just throw out there. Is it good? We're going to tell you. We're going to tell you if the juice is worth the squeeze. But, you know, we have a great show other than that as well. We're going to talk about some news, catch up a little bit, answer some listener questions, and say our goodbyes, I think, until 78, of course, episode 78. But before we get to the news... What's up? How was your week? How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Let's see. What did we do? On Saturday, we went to dog training again. Actually, there's like a little dog at this dog training that's like a little fluff ball. And his owner has like a walker, so she's not like super mobile. And we walked into the class, and like you're supposed to have all the dogs leashed. We walked into the class and like Pluto's like, you know, he's pretty big. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we went in, that little dog, I guess, was off the leash and freaking went like a bullet at Pluto, like trying to fight, like, and Pluto's like, he jumps up and he's like swatting and I'm like pulling him away and I'm like, Jesus Christ. And that dog, that like little dog, tried to pick like another fight with like another dog as well. Just was having an off day because we've seen that dog like every week, but we were like, Jesus, what did he do? Like it just walked in. But those little dogs, man, they get feisty, you know.
It's a classic Napoleon situation, you know. Yeah. They need to, you know, be a little bit rougher, pun intended, than they need to be. I mean, I'm glad that Pluto is okay and was able to fend for himself.
Yeah. No, he was good. It never got to the point of like, Marie was checking him, but I was like, he's fine. Like nothing happened. But, anyway, so that was an eventful. And then, yesterday, cause today's Monday, St. Patty's Day.
Whoa.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Yesterday we had like the fam over for like corned beef and cabbage and all that sort of stuff. And it's also St. Joseph's Day, which, like I didn't really know about until I started dating Maria. So we have, you know, normal Irish stuff. And then we also have, pastries, St. Joseph's Day pastries with cannoli cream or custard cream filled. And they're huge. They're like the size of your head. They literally are. Yeah. They're very good. So yeah.
They sound good. Are those like in the shape of the, like a shepherd's cane? Like a staff?
They're like a ball. They're like a ball. Okay. Yeah, they're like a plump little ball filled with cream.
Interesting. I'm not Italian at all, so I don't really, you know, buy into the whole St. Joseph thing. I don't know. I'm St. Patty's Day all the way. Now, I will say, you know, I've talked about it before. I don't eat beef, but I do love corned beef. And just the past couple of days, like people posted on social media, I was at work today. It was a potluck. People brought corned beef and cabbage. And I will say, like, you know, let's say I quit drinking, right? I understand. It's like I would be drinking again immediately. Luckily, I've been able to hold back on the beef, but like just watching people enjoy it and like, oh, you're just like, corned beef so good. Like I was like my one coworker, his mom works at my job, and she saw me like heating up my lunch, and she's like, what's the matter, you don't like corned beef? It's like, no, I really love corned beef, I just can't have it. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's all right, I could probably sneak a little nibble here and there, but I love St. Patty's Day. It's a good time. So.
Yeah, I had a corned beef cheesesteak today from a place. Yeah, because there's like a pastrami place near us. So they were doing corned beef this time of year. So Maria had a Reuben and I had a cheesesteak. It was pretty good. It's pretty good.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, it does sound pretty good. Holy smokes. But, oh, geez. But that's awesome. We did like a Jameson chicken tonight for dinner, which is close enough. Nice. It was good. But my weekend, we went to go see a movie, which I'll talk about in the rec room at the end of the show. What else did I do? Jeez. Played some Flesh and Blood. Played the game for the week. And we went... Where did we go on Friday? Did we go anywhere? No, I think I just hung out here. That was it. Pretty low key. Just kind of gearing up for the honeymoon soon. And the honeymoon soon. No, I'm kidding. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully, I don't know. I hope it doesn't rain that much. But we got to talk about indie video games. Hopefully we didn't lose anybody. Welcome back.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about games. You're probably wanting to hear a little bit about Odinfall, but first we got to talk about some indie game news. Not a whole lot this week, but the biggest news always is we do have a Discord. Please check it out. It's in the show notes below. It's a great place to share games that you're seeing or, you know, talk to us. Ask questions for the show. All kinds of cool things. But I think that you posted something that I had seen as well, and I want you to talk about it.
Yeah, so the Indy 3 event, as the community calls it, is coming back this year. For those who don't remember, it was, I don't know if it started last year, but it was pretty successful. It's essentially just an indie showcase, and it has about, I think last year it says 150 handpicked indie games in the showcase. Wow. So definitely indie focused, and you know, a lot of games on there that just don't have the money, right? Like those studios or developers don't have the money to be on like a game award stage or a bigger stage. So it's cool. It's a cool event. I enjoyed watching it last year. And the big news is that registration is now open for the showcase. So if you're a developer and you're listening to the show, maybe, you know, check out Indie 3 and see if, you know, your game can make the showcase and, you know, get all the details. But it's supposed to be here on June 3rd. So I imagine the submission probably isn't open too long. But yeah, it's a cool event. I'm always up for more events, you know, giving some spotlight to these developers that, you know, have awesome games, but just don't have the resources to get on the big stages. So pretty cool stuff here.
Yeah, it was cool. I think, what did we see first there? Like 33 Immortals, I thought we saw, right?
Yeah, might have been there.
We saw a teaser for Slay the Spire 2, I believe. So probably some more of like the big titles we'll hear about, and then like we'll get nice little sneak peeks of some other cool stuff coming down the pipes in the indie world. This isn't really news, but we are kind of on the tail end by the time this is out. The Steam spring sale, I believe. I think for like one more day, if you're listening to this the day this comes out, there are some there's actually a decent amount of games that are pretty cheap, especially good indie games. So Undertale is like $1 maybe. And, you know, that's considered to be an all-time great in the indie sphere. And then Blasphemous, a game that like a Souls-like Castlevania game or Metroidvania. That game is pretty awesome. That was like $5, I think. So there, you know, check it out. You know, this is always a good time. You know, obviously one of our ratings is called Get On Sale. So that's like right now. So check it out. I'm sure if any of you have, you know, a list of games on your wish list, you already been notified, but listen, there's some other good stuff out there, so check that out. Did you pick up anything on the spring sale yet?
Yeah, I picked up two games. One of them is Halo the Master Chief Collection, just because some of the guys were picking it up, and it was $10 for, you know, it's like, five Halo games or something in there. And so I was like, yeah, it'll be fun with friends or whatever. And then the other one is an indie game called Core Keeper, which I know... Yeah. Those developers are coming out with a Kiora, which is their next game that looks kind of cool. But I've had my eye on Core Keeper for a while and just never really pulled the trigger. So it was 25% off. It's not, I think the cheapest it's ever been is like $7. I got it for 15, but I was like, you know what? It's on sale, and I've been really wanting to play it because it looks up my alley. So I'm going to definitely be checking that out. But yeah, just those two for right now. I did see Blasphemous. I was tempted to get it. because I've also had my eye on that one. Yeah, so I might have to do that. Have you played the second one?
No, not yet. Not yet. Okay. But I love the first one. The first one's excellent. So
cool.
And like you as a, I mean, you play Dead Cells, so you're at least pretty familiar with Metroidvanias, but you're also a huge Souls-like fan, and it really like nails that kind of feel in the 2D world, which is pretty sweet.
Hell yeah.
I picked up one game so far, Rogue Genesia, I think. It's a newer game that came out and up to like 1.0. It was in early access. It's a roguelike, survivors-like game, but a little bit more, it's still top down, but it's like more, I don't know if it's like, it's not third person, it's like maybe isometric, I don't know what you would call it, but it's kind of neat. I like it so far. I played a little bit, but it's a kind of interesting, rather than just like these ongoing hordes, you go in, you play a horde of like a survivors, like or bullet heaven as they're calling them more so now. And then it has like the classic like Slay the Spire map that you go from, you know, one encounter to the next. So pretty neat, pretty neat. So that's what I picked up. But more importantly, we picked up Odinfall, which is our game of the week to review here on the show. It is developed by Emberpaw Games and published by Fireshine Games. It's on Steam, $12.99, but it's 20% off till the 20th. And that should give you a day. That's just like the spring Steam sale. Now, what is this game? Well, here's a nice little tidbit. Ragnarok was just the beginning of the end. Odinfall is a Viking-themed roguelite twin-stick shooter. Blast your way through procedurally generated levels, upgrade your character, modify your weapons, and take down robotic Norse gods to earn your freedom. Do you want to take the lead on the gameplay here?
Sure. Yeah, if I have to. No, yeah, so it is, like Tommy said, right? Twin stick shooter. So you're definitely getting those vibes. It is pretty procedural, I would say, overall, every level. It's, I believe, am I right there? I don't, no, it does say procedurally generated. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Missed that part. So that's pretty cool. And, yeah, you essentially are choosing a class at first, and then you unlock the classes, I believe, just the more you play. I only locked one other class, which was that moose guy. There's a cool moose character that you can get, and they have different special abilities. So it's kind of like this ultimate ability that you can get. And you also have a large variety of guns that you can find and different types of upgrades you can get for these guns. So you're basically going through these levels, defeating enemies. And let me throw some of the gameplay up on the screen as well. So that's Tom. There he is. So as you can see on the screen, if you're watching on YouTube or on Spotify, you know, it's this top-down kind of view. And basically what you're trying to do with each floor is find a key, and then that key will unlock the door that drops you down to the next floor. And there will be, you know, different types of enemies, different types of kind of these chest things that you kind of open up that either have coins in it that you can use at the merchant levels that are in between the levels, or you can find different guns, different upgrades for guns. I would say I had a great time with like the variety of weapons you find, because they're not, it's not always like assault rifle, SMG, right? It's like you can get like a dagger, or you can get like a microwave gun that like shoots through like a ray of microwaves, I guess, or whatever, through a wall, which is really cool. So there's a lot of fun you can have with it. And then the different upgrades you can get for the guns are really exciting. I know one of them, I basically had an upgrade that turned like one bullet into like 10 bullets. And then I had another upgrade that made all those bullets ricochet. So I would just kind of go into a room and shoot, and it would just kill everything in that room, which is really cool. I will say that I did find the game like pretty difficult. You know, like it's a game that I feel like the weapons almost like, you really want to like fly through these levels, but I found like you can't, like you have to be kind of tactical. Maybe I'm just not that good at the game, but I never really got like super far into it. I did fight like some mini bosses, but I didn't really get far enough into it just because I'm not that good at it apparently. So that's just something to keep in mind is like, I almost feel like the game, because of the weapon choices and the characters, like it almost like wants you to go fast through the levels. And maybe you can sometimes, but I found that like eventually I would kind of hit a wall or like I just take too much damage and then I'd end up dying. And there's like kind of a life system in the game. It's like, you know, it's shown as a health bar, but really it's like you have 8 lives and every time you get hit, you lose a life. So that's just something to kind of keep in mind. And one thing just from a gameplay perspective as well is that I really enjoy when you find the key, it goes up to like the top of your screen, it becomes the compass that leads you to the door to get to the next level. And sometimes you already know where the door is, so it's not really that useful. But I did find it useful in a few levels that were a little bigger, where I kind of get lost a bit. So that was just a cool, you know, it's kind of on the art side, but I think that's a really cool like gameplay mechanic. But yeah, I think the big part of the gameplay here, the reason I kind of kept wanting to do another run, is just the variety of weapons that you're able to have because of the different upgrades. And they're, you know, they have like a silliness kind of about them sometimes, which is fun. So that was kind of my highlight of the gameplay.
Yeah. You nail a lot of things there. And the replayability is definitely coming from the variety of, I think, do they call them mods in the game for the guns or the weapons? Yeah. So, you know, like you get a max of 3. And to be honest, for a while, I didn't realize you can ditch the modifications, right? You can.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, you can. I didn't even realize at first. I just didn't read the indicator when it came up. And that was on me. But because I was... So the interesting thing is you have 2 weapon slots, right? So when you come across no shortage of new weapons, right? So like you're running into like a bunch of new weapons every level or every floor of these dungeons. So like you're like, oh, maybe I'll trade this out. But then you're like, oh, I got a bunch of mods on this one. And in my mind, I was like, oh, I have to get rid of this whole gun with all these mods on it to get a new gun. And that was not true. I could have just ditched the mods, got a new gun, put them on the new gun. But yeah. I digress. I figured out eventually. It is difficult. It is certainly difficult. This does remind me a lot of Enter the Gungeon. I mean, you know, outside of the obvious, right? With, you know, you're running around shooting guns, twin stick shooter, kind of roguelike thing. But the difficulty of kind of navigating through is a lot to begin with. You have to get used to the pace of this game and like how these enemies are really going to interact with you, because some will chase you and some are just kind of like dilly-dallying until you're really close. So that was like kind of a nice little learning curve, I felt like. But the meta progression is what really helps you get a little bit better as well. You know, depending on your character, and I played mostly as Leafy the Moose, which is the second character you unlock. And, you know, you have the skill tree when you get back, right? So when you die, you can go back to a main area, which, you know, very typical of a lot of these kinds of games. And you can upgrade stuff. You have like a skill tree, like the main skill like that you really upgrade initially is like you gain a health every time you finish like a floor or whatever. So like you have that kind of buffer to like regain some health throughout your run. Now, the coolest thing is like the thing that made me kind of giddy about this game was, I think if you were watching on the YouTube, you just saw it. You pop in, you do the Bifrost thing, which I'll talk about in the sound and probably the art section. But you go to this Super Mario style overworld, which was like Super Mario World style overworld, where, you know, you get to like choose which like levels you're going to attempt. And they have like a kind of difficulty assignment to them that you can pick and choose. You have to start by either going to a level one of 2 level ones in the first area that we have so far. And yeah, it just was like kind of cool. I just had a lot of fun. The mods make it very different. And it felt like that on top of the procedurally generated rooms that you really like had a really unique experience every single time you played, right? And even the mini bosses, which like I think it's usually like at least in the beginning of the game, you have like three levels, three floors you go through before you reach a floor with a mini boss. It's like usually it says like legendary, whatever the fuck it is, like you know, yeah. It's like legendary, like slime. I remember that was the first one I saw. It was like legendary slime, and I was like, damn, that was my nickname in high school. but it was, it's cool. So you beat that one, and then the next level will be the shop where you can buy new guns. You know, not that you're really running into any shortage of guns, as I said before, but sometimes you'll have a better gun, right, that you can upgrade to like, you know, round out your runs. You can buy mods and you can buy like perks, right? Like extra health or your dash does more damage or something like that. So see, there's the legendary rat, if you're which was your nickname in high school, right, Maddie?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I found the gameplay loop to be a lot of fun here. Like I think it's just it's hard. It certainly is hard, but I got decently far by the last run that I was playing, and you know, it was something that was like, all right, you know, this is kind of like gonna be fun to kind of revisit. So now, story wise, there is some stuff going on here. Do you want to talk about the story?
Yeah, you know, it's like, all right, you know, they don't really provide a lot of detail, so I'm gonna actually, there's a point in the beginning. Let me see if I can get it on screen, but. Essentially, it's you are kind of trapped with Loki, and you're trapped by Odin, and you're basically talking to Loki kind of in your little lobby area where you can do your upgrades, and you're trying to like get out to defeat Odin, basically. But obviously, you can't really trust everything that Loki says. And let me see. Yeah. So long ago there was order. So you kind of get a little bit of like a slideshow kind of introduction to the story, which I didn't even expect with a game like this to be honest, but, I don't know if I'm missing anything to be honest, but that's like the gist of the story, from what I kind of picked up on. So they, you know, they go over Odin, Thor, Baldur and Loki, and then, they kind of, you know, you're just kind of trapped with Loki.
Yeah.
he's like this big, like snake thing. I guess he's a snake. I don't really know what he is. He kind of looks like a cable to me too.
Yeah. He's like a cyberpunk weird thing. Now I will say, as you kind of go through during your run, so like something interesting that happens when you get back to the base is you'll have like a little indicator that will go to each of the places you can interact with in the base area, which you're looking at now. And oftentimes, every time you get back, there will be more stuff to go talk to Loki about, which is not really like mandatory, but like if you want to actually like figure out what's going on with the story, you can go talk to Loki. Now, if anybody knows anything about Norse mythology, Loki is probably not the most reliable narrator. So, you know, I don't want to. This is not a spoiler because I haven't gotten to anything that would say otherwise. But it definitely feels like at some point in the story, there's going to be like a twist. Loki was probably not your best friend the whole time, but that would be just my guess. And there's like some other like lore stuff you can kind of find as well. So it did feel like the story was built out a little bit more than most other. Games of this kind of ilk, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it does add something, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's like a you know, something I'm looking forward to seeing more. Like it's predictable, right? Like kind of what you said. Like I imagine that's going to happen at some point. But you know, it's nice to have. Yeah. So, art wise, though, you did mention the art a bit earlier. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of comparisons to, Void Throne, I think is the name of the game. It's a very similar game to this, very similar. It's another indie game, and I think it's on my freaking wish list, and I'm blanking on it right now. But it's also another kind of top-down pixel art kind of has this kind of cyberpunky feel to it. Cyberpunk meets, I don't know, whatever Norse mythology that this is. And it is, it's cute, right? Like, I think the character design is really cool. I felt like all the different enemies looked really neat, you know. And I think that the kind of like choice to make these gods, these Norse gods, like cyber, you know, like these half android things is pretty neat, right? Like,
yeah,
this could have easily just been like a run of the mill kind of twin stick shooter roguelite. I think there's certainly a lot of intention here, and I enjoyed it. I'll mention the Bifrost. So if you don't know what the Bifrost is, that's another Norse mythology thing where, you know, if you watch like the Marvel movies, it's like a rainbow bridge. But in this game, it's like a like portal that you'll go through. And when it happens, you get this like huge flash of like these rainbow colors. And it looks really, really cool. Kind of gets you hyped for the run too. And, you know, it makes a really great sound effect too, which we'll get to. But yeah, it's just a good looking pixel art game. I don't think it's really breaking anything, breaking any new ground or anything like that. I would say it's definitely like typical of this genre in a way, but it does look good, and you know, the environments look good. So yeah, it's a good looking game.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think like the Bifrost is one of the coolest things in the game, just visually, and also just really everything at your that kind of like lobby safe area that you have. Especially when you like unlock new parts of it, it kind of like shows you like, you know, like the lock kind of breaking off the door, and you know, there's little touches here and there. But honestly, I think like generally for the art style for this game, you know, It's nothing like special, right? Like you said, like there's other games that kind of like look like this. And honestly, what I kept thinking was like when we're at PAX, there's always like a game that I feel like looks like this.
Yeah.
You know, and it never really like I would say if I was walking by a booth for this game, like the art style wouldn't be what grabbed me immediately, because I'd be like, all right, you know, I'd probably still watch the game because I'm interested in the genre, but in terms of the art style, looks good, but it's definitely not anything like super unique. You know, I feel like they could have even leaned a little bit further into like the Norse kind of look, to be honest. But, you know, I think there might be like limitations with the art style they chose, maybe. I do think that it's a little odd. Like, so you do have procedural maps, but then there's also kind of in some, like you can kind of destroy the map with like rockets, you know, it's what do they call it? I guess destructive. But there are kind of these like Norse like stones that are out kind of in the unplayable areas. And then you can break the area to make it more playable. I think like even maybe that's where they could have added a little bit more like interest in the art style, is like those areas that aren't playable. That's kind of just like a blank slate, maybe a little bit more design there. Or maybe it was not just like kind of this dirt that you're breaking through or this stone you're breaking through. Maybe it's like something else that's a little more interesting. I don't know, like something that would grab me a little bit more with the art style for the game. But I will say, once you get like a really cool setup with a weapon, it is really satisfying seeing kind of everything go off at once. And you know, the enemy design is decent as well. There's some interesting enemies. Then there's kind of your basic ones as well. So, the art honestly was kind of like middle of the road for me with this game, just because it's nothing super unique.
Yeah. I just looked up what the game was that people are comparing it to, and it, you know, I'm looking at the screenshots right now. It's actually almost identical, which is like, I mean, maybe a little copy and paste, but it's Nuclear Throne. Which is a game from 2015. I mean, this is like certainly better graphics, but if you look at like the environments, almost look a lot alike. Now, listen, I mean, there are plenty of games, like, you know, you look at Vampire Survivors, there's a million games that look like that now, so it's not like uncommon. So this seems like a similar game that people kind of obviously love. So, you know, I don't want to say this was copy and paste, but it's definitely heavily inspired.
Yeah. This game. But I think a big thing with that too, I'm looking at it as well, is like the UI is like basically the same.
Yeah.
So maybe that's somewhere where they could have innovated a little bit more in terms of like the Norse mythology. Like, you know, maybe instead of it just being like 7 out of 7, like maybe it's like, I don't know, like a symbol, like a Norse symbol, and you have like 7 of them or something. I don't know, something like that. But yeah, wow. There are some similarities, I would say. I think the UI kind of brings it home and goes like, oh, you know, maybe there was some inspiration there.
Listen, it's you know, even one of the reviews says it's basically a Nuclear Throne 2.5, which is not a bad thing, right? Because obviously that game is very popular. So, Now, sound-wise, I did really like the soundtrack here. It was good. It's nothing like that I'm like, oh, this was Odinfall, I would be able to really like tell you. But I will say, the sound effects themselves was what really kind of felt really good in the game. Like listening, like the Bifrost sounded, it was like the THX sound effect from like the old VHS, like the surround sound.
Yeah,
you know,
whatever.
Which like sounded really cool. And then like every weapon kind of having its own identity in that kind of way as well was also really neat. So, you know, I remember the Javelin was the best sounding weapon that I was messing around with. And then when you kind of also start getting mods on there, it kind of compounds in a way from a sound effect aspect as well. So, yeah, I actually like the sound design here. It's pretty good. The soundtrack is good, but not crazy memorable. But it fits right into what you're doing and playing.
Yeah, I'm with the soundtrack. You know, yeah, fits with the gameplay. Yeah, I thought the sound effects were good. They're very like arcadey sounding, which is nice. There were like maybe one or two sounds, and I don't remember exactly what they were, but I was like a little like maybe harsh on the ears for me, where I was just like, oh man, like that, you know, it's like so arcadey that I'm just like, maybe I should turn the volume down a little bit. So I did that. But yeah, I think the sound effects like are definitely a step above the soundtrack in the game. But none of it, luckily none of it for me is like, you know, ruining the experience, you know, which is a plus for sure.
Yeah. And finally, performance wise, I didn't really have any issues. Didn't really foresee any. Now this is early access, so, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done, but I believe they plan on having a very short early access from what I saw, you know, like only like a couple months or something like that. So be kind of interested to see what happens there. And also, actually, you know, to kind of go back, there's one part of the gameplay that I don't think either of us mentioned, but the kind of balance of like trying to get your ammo in the game, because you can run out of ammo. There's what, 5 different ammo types now. Like the swords and daggers and axes and stuff like that are cool because you don't need ammo, but they don't have range. So this is like, all right, this is what it is. But yeah, performance wise, good.
Yeah, I had like I think 2 or 3 play sessions with the game, and the first one I had some issues, but I guess I didn't have those issues for the other play sessions, so maybe it was just like hot fixed, which would be great, or maybe it was just something on my end. But the first issue was just when I first launched the game, it kept switching between full screen and windowed on its own, like just back and forth, and I couldn't play. I had to like force close the game, which I thought was weird. That never happened again. And then I had in my first play session only, I had some weird issues with the controller because I used the controller on Steam, and it was like controlling itself. Like it wasn't like listening to me, and like I was trying to choose a character and it wasn't like listening to the direction that I was like pointing it to go. But then it didn't happen again after that. So it seems like it's not an issue, but just wanted to bring it up just in case anyone else has that issue. I'd recommend just like relaunching the game, and then you know, that should hopefully fix it. But yeah, that was it. But really, you know, it didn't really take away from my experience. I never felt like my controller wasn't like listening to me during a game session. It was just like in the menus and things like that where it wasn't kind of listening, which is weird. But yeah, so yeah, that's just a few little things, which is rare, I would say, on one of these episodes that there's some performance issues. But game ran great though in terms of like FPS. Everything was totally fine.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I would hope that these are kind of ironed out in the next couple of months, but you know, that's what early access is for. So they say a lot of these games like to go into early access. Now, this does bring us to our ratings. Our ratings are as follows. Our best games are Certified Fresh Juice, your NORP Apologues, your Preserves, your Balatros of the World, Steel, Ballionaire, Crypt Custodian, Cub. Good games, not the greatest games, but very good, and we recommend them. On Sale, I'll Get On Sale, Wizard with a Gun, Hellscape, games that like we think that just had flaws, but still have a lot of redeeming qualities that if you want to catch it on sale, perhaps a spring sale or a summer sale, which will be coming up soon as well, you go grab it there. And then after that, you have Manager Special. These are games that we would recommend maybe a deep discount or a free-to-play situation because we don't really see a lot of redeeming qualities there. But or on the other side, it could be a game that is a very particular kind of genre that maybe we aren't into. So maybe it's for you out there. And then finally, Spoiled Milk, a game that we don't recommend for anyone. I'll start. I'm going to give Odinfall a high steal, I would say. I think that there is a lot here. This is a lot of game in a little package, I would say. I think there's a lot of depth here. You know, I feel like I was only scratching the surface with the overworld, right? Because, you know, every time you start up a run, you start from ground zero. So, you know, the itch in me kind of wants to just like, you know, I want to see how far I can go. Like when you start to get to some of those later levels, which I did, you're like, holy smokes, how am I going to manage this? And, you know, the meta progression kind of seems to be the way to help that. And I'm also interested to see what the other characters are like. You know, there's a lot there. A lot of unlockables, different kinds of guns that you can find and unlock. Every time you play and you like level up, you unlock other guns that you can find on your runs. So there's a lot of game here. And I think the gameplay itself kind of carries it. And, you know, it's not a bad game to look at either, so that doesn't really hurt its cause. But yeah, like a high steal.
Yeah, I'm coming in with a steal as well. I think that there's plenty of content here. I think it's got a great replayability. And I guess, you know, even with like, you know, those things I didn't know about in terms of it being like, I guess, heavily inspired by a past game. You know, if you were a fan of that game in 2015, like, I would say you would probably love this game.
Yeah.
So, you know, nothing wrong with that at all. So I think it's a well-made game that has plenty of content. It's plenty of fun, and you can definitely, you know, sink a few hours at least into the game and feel like you kind of accomplished something with the unlocks and just every run kind of feeling a little bit different. So, I enjoyed it. So giving it a solid steal.
Very nice, very nice. Next week we have a game that we covered the beta.
Yeah.
The open beta. 33 Immortals.
Woo!
Which is a game that we really enjoyed the beta, so it's coming out in early access, I guess. Or I guess it's like it's not on Steam, so maybe it's just a full release.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess we'll tell you next week. but we'll be playing that. Very excited to play that. Now we do have listener questions. These come from the Juice Heads. Who are the Juice Heads, you might ask? Well, they're the lovely folks inside of our Discord, and it is a great place to interact with us and ask questions. We have two questions from Bags, who asked one last week, but it came after we recorded, so we're going to ask them both. Bags first asks, did you ever nickname your Pokemon personally? I never do.
I don't think I ever have, really. I always knew it was an option. Maybe I I mean, I'm the type of person that when I play Zelda, I name him Link, you know, like I don't want a different name for Link. So
that's yeah, fair.
No, but Tom, what about you?
I have, it never feels good. I like the regular names.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, the regular names are cool to me.
That's their name.
That's their name, right?
What the?
You know?
What?
Yeah. Like, because in the TV show, Ash wasn't like calling Pikachu Jim or something like that. So,
get him, Jim.
Get him, yeah. So, yeah. We're with you there, Bags. And Bags also asked, do you have a favorite video game Easter egg?
Ooh, a favorite video game Easter egg. That's good because there's a lot of good ones. The first one that came to my mind is there's one in Gears of War 2, maybe. There's like you find a toaster that's behind like a wall, and like the characters are just like, who wants toast? It's like a random thing in like a middle of just like this desolate area that you're in. But there's some really great ones. Like if you're considering like Call of Duty Zombies, like the Easter eggs that are basically story missions that you can kind of play through. Those like back in the day were just so much fun to like figure out. And I couldn't really choose one. There's some just some really fantastic and just fun things. Even something as small as like, you know, you interact with three things on a zombie map and it plays a song. So that stuff is always cool because it really like it's usually a song that just like amps you up and is, you know, is fun. So. Yeah, actually, speaking of Easter eggs, though, I did see, I guess in Tony Hawk, one of the pro skaters, there's like a map where you break through a glass and Benjamin Franklin is there. And then he runs away and you chase him. And then once you chase him, it says you unlock Benjamin Franklin as a character. And then he says something like, I'm going to teach you some moves or something like that. It's definitely an old skateboarding game. I'm thinking it's one of the Tony Hawks, but I saw that today. So that's a cool Easter egg.
That is cool.
Yeah. But what about you, Tom?
So off the top of my head, certainly a Pokemon one is kind of fun. Like in the original games, I think it was the original games, there's like a youngster, like NPC that you battle. And like you, when you get noticed by him and he comes up to you, you know, they say something before the battle starts. He goes, I like shorts. and you know, for whatever reason, they're like easy to wear and comfortable. And he shows up in multiple of the franchise, even I think in the most recent one. He shows up and he's just like, I really love shorts. So the shorts guy, he's cool. I will say, you know, a lot of the like Animal Crossing games always had like kind of fun Easter eggs to other Nintendo games, which is always kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you know, like each Balatro Joker had to bring it up. We're back. Each Balatro Joker, like, kind of like has a certain kind of Easter egg in it itself. Like the banana, Gros Michel. I just learned about this. Right, that was the old banana we had. Like with that we ate. Did you know that?
No.
So the banana that you get in Balatro, Gros Michel or Gros Michael, was a species of banana that we all ate, but it was susceptible to disease and it went extinct. Now we eat the Cavendish banana, which is the one that comes back in Balatro. Like after you lose the Gros Michel, you get the Cavendish, which has a 1 in 1,000 chance to go extinct, which is a fun little thing. I always just thought it was like a Andy Warhol joke or something like that. I don't know, but stuff like that. Good question, though, Bags. Speaking of Balatro, Capolo comes in and asked, if you go to the gym, what's in your gym playlist? Is Tommy still playing Balatro at the gym?
Tommy is still... No. See, I haven't been to the gym in a while, but if I'm working out, I will. I have like just a Spotify playlist with like various, you know, hype up songs. There's like Eminem on there and Dr. Dre and like Thunderstruck, you know, just like all these songs that get me amped up, a little AC/DC. Yeah, so that's probably it. And let me hear, I know what you listen to. What do you tell the folks what you listen to?
Oh, like dark ambient and like dungeon synth.
Yeah.
So it all depends on the day and like how I'm feeling, but it is, lately it has been less of that, but I will say, like this today, I was listening to like just Irish music because St. Paddy's Day and like a lot of Irish folk. So I'll listen to that. I'll listen to sad stuff. I don't need it to really hype me up that much. I just need something.
Yeah.
But I stopped playing Balatro at the gym because I'm trying to read more. So I read on the treadmill now. And when I read, depending on the book, I'll put on a certain kind of ambient kind of YouTube playlist or whatever. So if it's like a fantasy book, I'm putting on some dungeon synth. I was reading a sci-fi book last, and that was like a lot of like dark ambient kind of space ambient stuff. So it kind of helps you focus on the book. Which I like as well. So, yeah, that's my go-to.
Nice. You know, that's impressive. You can like stay focused reading while on a treadmill. I feel like because I've tried to like just like browse Twitter or something, and I'm like, I can't do it. Even like watching a show on my phone. I feel like.
Oh really?
I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, I like music is just like, I guess I can't do anything visually for whatever reason. But it's that's impressive though.
Thank you. Well, yeah. I will say it's been hard. Like the book I'm reading now, I don't think I really like, but I'm committed to like finishing it. So it's been harder to pay attention. I'm just like, I don't really like that book, but the book I would have recommended the last book I read, but I have something else to recommend, but I will shout out, The Mountain in the Sea by Ray Naylor, which was a cool book. Now K-more comes in and asks, happy St. Patrick's Day. It's not a question. With the luck of the Irish in mind, what games do you think you have the best luck? And which games have you had the worst? This can be loot drops, lucky runs, lucky headshots, etc.
Oh, man. I would probably say, so a game I probably had the worst luck in, two things come to mind. Like Hearthstone, basically the entirety of me playing Hearthstone, I felt like I had the worst luck. And also playing Mario Kart online. I just have like there's a clip of me out there somewhere where I got hit by like 5 red shells in a row. And I was just like in a row, like as soon as I'd be done with one, there'd be another one coming. I'm like, who am I playing against? So that's probably just a skill issue. But in terms of games where I think I have the best luck, Gears of War, I feel like I'm always getting lucky with things. But I don't know, the best luck. I'm trying to think of like a game where there's like a lot of loot. I've heard that Path of Exile 2 or 1 has like a ton of loot, which is cool. I don't know if it's all like kind of good stuff that you end up getting. I'll have to think about that though. I'll think while Tom's answering of what game I felt like I've had the best luck.
Well, to kind of keep in theme with the card game thing, I played a lot of Magic the Gathering Arena and I still have nightmares of Magic and Magic the Gathering Arena specifically of the bad luck you'd get. You're just like, there's no way. It's just like statistically, this is such an anomaly that this is happening to me or it happened to my opponent and they killed me with it. Right.
Yeah.
And you're just like, how is this happening? And I know it's like, I guess confirmation bias or whatever, but like, because there was probably plenty of times I was just super lucky. Right.
Yeah.
And my opponent was like smashing their head against the screen, but you only remember the bad luck. In terms of like good luck, I will say this is recent games like Balatro. I've had like a lot of good luck where I would win a boss blind by like one chip. And I was and it was like a total guess if that was going to happen or whatever. I was just like, well, this is probably my best shot. Let me just send it. And it was like one chip. You're like, what the hell?
Oh, my God.
And then I was wearing, because I have the Wheel of Fortune hoodie.
Yeah.
I was at Flesh and Blood yesterday. And obviously, I saw somebody who was talking to them who likes Balotro. And he's like, because on the Wheel of Fortune hoodie on the back, it says nope. Because that's the one that supposedly 1 in 4 will hit. It never really feels like it. And I was talking to him, I was like, yeah, like I feel like it's definitely, like you sometimes you feel like it'll never hit. And then I'll have a run where it hits 6 times, like all 5 of my Jokers hit, right? So like I have like an upgraded Joker 5 times. So I think I got some good luck going on the beach row.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I don't really know what games I've had the best luck in. I feel like there's no game I've played where I'm like, man, every time I play this game, I'm getting lucky. Like, it's just Destiny, no. Like, Sea of Thieves, no. I don't know. It's just always, like, middle of the road. So, I don't know. I'll just say, like, Gears of War because I played a lot of it. So, I've had more lucky things happen, I guess.
Yeah. I mean... What about like Dead Cells? I feel like that, like where like or games even like Odinfall or Dead Cells, where like you just get all the best weapons or whatever.
Yeah, in a run. Yeah. When everybody's super, no one is. You know, situation. Yeah, No, that actually, I guess one game that I felt like I got pretty lucky playing was Marvel Rivals when it first came out. Or not Marvel Rivals, sorry, Marvel Snap.
Okay.
When it first came out, I was like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. Then I just kind of stopped playing. Same thing kind of happened with Pokemon Pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've stopped playing. Oh, Yeah, have you? You play longer than me, though, right?
Yeah. Well, then they started, like, they came out with more sets, and then I felt like it became, like, overwhelming. And I don't like new Pokemon. I don't. Yeah. I like first 3 generations max, and then I'm out. So
yeah.
And the coin flips on that. It's like,
oh my god, yeah.
I'm like, how is this? Like, the only way that this game exists is because of the IP. Because this is the most infuriating thing I've ever even played. But
see, I literally won 10 games in a row because of coin flips, and it was like. More than half of those games, after the coin would go in my favor, it would be your opponent conceded.
Yeah.
So I was like, I was on a roll, and it was feeling pretty good, but I know I was probably making people upset.
I know. That was my problem, too, and this is my problem in pretty much every card game I play. I try to play the fair deck where I have to, like, where I'm like, oh, I'll use my card gaming prowess against them. And, you know, nothing can beat my prowess.
You got someone on the other side like me that looked up like best deck ever. And just built it. Oh, that was easy. Yeah.
And
there's Misty.
That's something inside me I need to work on. So, but hey, what are you gonna do? Thanks for the questions. Oh, wait, did I get another question come in?
Ooh, breaking news?
No, we didn't.
No.
I asked the wife if she had a question, and I got a and then never answered. All right, so I'll have words with her right now. The Rec Room is a little place where we go to hang out and recommend stuff that perhaps isn't an indie game. What do you have to recommend this week?
I am recommending these pretzels I got. Bam. They're more called More Crunch, M-O-O-R-E Crunch. And it's awesome. This guy, Marcus Moore on TikTok, he is an autistic fella that runs his own business, which is really cool. So I've been following him for a while, and he actually packed my order live on stream, which is cool. But I have these sour cream and onion pretzels, and then I also have garlic ranch. They also have like buffalo. And they have like a birthday cake one that people really like too, which I probably wouldn't get. But sour cream and onion ones are really good. And it's just cool. He's a really nice guy. Like I said, been following him for a while. He's been, you know, trying to build up his business a bit. And I think it's cool. Like, he fulfills all the orders himself and sends them out and does it live on stream. So yeah, they're pretty good though. Pretty good pretzels. And I believe they're in the Orioles Stadium, which is really cool too. So that's a pretty awesome achievement there. So I'm just recommending More Crunch. I think you can just get them from their website. I don't think they're like on Amazon or in stores, but they're pretty good. I recommend trying them out. They have a little sampler pack too that you can get if you're interested.
Very nice.
Not sponsored yet.
No. probably not. Definitely not. I think Camden Yards, is that what it's called?
Yeah, Royal, I believe so. Royal yeah. Stadium. Yeah.
Beautiful park. Beautiful ballpark. My recommendation is a movie. We went to go see a movie on Saturday. We went to go see Mickey 17, starring everybody's favorite actor, Robert Pattinson. This is the newest film from Bong Joon-ho, who directed Parasite, if anybody ever saw that, which I, if you haven't seen Parasite, what are you doing? Go see it. It's probably the last movie, like the last movie in the last 10 years, maybe, that I'm like, well, there actually, I shouldn't say that. The last movie I saw that I was like, this is going to go down in the annals of history. Wow. In film history, I think. It's just that good. I think it's very timeless, even on a rewatch. But Mickey 17 tells the story of Mickey Barnes, who gets in trouble on Earth and has a lot of debt. So he's like, oh, let me go hop on this like huge space expedition that's about to leave. So he does, and then he unknowingly signs up for the Expendable program. Was the Expendable program? Well, there's this technology that they have where they can basically just upload all of your memories to and like thoughts to a hard drive, and then just whenever you die, print out a new version of you and then upload memories. So basically, you think, oh, this is pretty awesome. This is great. Just live forever. Well, they just use him as like a lackey, right? Like, oh, any dangerous mission, send Mickey. And then Mickey dies. So Mickey 17 is obviously about the 17th Mickey that has been printed. Robert Pattinson does a great job, and it's fun. It's like funny and kind of like weird in a way. And a lot of great performances. Robert Pattinson does a great job. This girl, Naomi Aki, is in it. She's excellent. Steven Yeun, who is from Walking Dead.
Yep. And Glenn. Yeah.
And also Invincible, plays the voices of the son. Mark Ruffalo's excellent in it. It was a good time. It was a fun one. And like, unlike Parasite, not as like dark, but like still had some darkness to it. But in a more almost comedic way. It was a good movie. So Mickey 17.
Hell yeah. I think I've seen people talking about this on TikTok. So I'll have to
check it out.
I haven't seen Parasite either, but I'm gonna get it.
Parasite, so it is in Korean.
What?
Sorry.
Tom, I'm not Korean.
Yeah, well guess what? They got this thing called subtitles. Don't do the dubs. That's one thing. Because if I do the dub, I'm going to have the subtitles on anyway. I'd rather hear what they're saying in their native language, if that makes sense. Like when I watched Squid Game, I watched subtitles, right? So, Parasite. That's a freaking classic. Absolute classic. Check it out, folks. Man. That's in tandem with Mickey 17. Do a double feature. Have a good time. Do Parasite first, and then Mickey 17, I would say. And then, old Jeb's a millionaire. And we're off to the races and other turns of phrase for all you. It is the end of the show, after all. I've been one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh. You can find me on Blue Sky mostly at Fresh Buds Pod. And it is, I have another podcast I'm just hearing now. It's called Fresh and Buds. I talk about flesh and blood. It's a good time. We have a lot of fun over there. I have guests from every week. You can find this podcast on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. Matthew, where can people find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the social media networks closest to your home.
Yep. Well, that's another juice in the squeezer, and we are gonna go grab some more juice. Bye.